You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
It's good to be back. I was sitting on the couch there last week doing nothing. It was kind of odd, actually, hearing y'all have your own opinion about stuff, and I'm just sitting on the couch.
Yeah, without arguing. I know. Without you arguing, interjecting your thoughts, overpowering people on the microphone.
I know Ray was happy. Yeah, well, yeah. Welcome to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally-O, and I'm here with my good partner, Will. Sorry.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sorry. I apologize. I talked over you again. Yeah, do it again.
Yeah, you did it again.
Here, go ahead again. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good. Ray couldn't make it today. I guess he's the one that's MIA today.
Yep.
All right, so he's not on the couch, though. So that's the truth. He's not on the couch sitting here. Ray is actually not in the building. You know, so.
In a studio, man. This is a studio.
It's an apartment. It's an apartment. Let's just be real. Let the people know it's an apartment. This is how we get down.
Perception's reality.
I guess so, man. We ain't rappers out here, man. You know what I mean? This is the truth. We in an apartment, man. This is the suburbs. I'm in an apartment. Times are tough. President Obama, help me out. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Help me out. But, no, you got to say this part because I can't say it. You know, our what? I can't.
Our tradition? Yeah. The pregame?
Yes, sir. NBA plans are to scrap the first 4 weeks of the season. My question to you is it worth having a season? We're gonna miss about 4 weeks of the season?
Yeah, it's still worth having a season. Like I've told everybody from the get-go, the NBA, the season isn't going to start until after New Year's. I just don't. Well, possibly around Christmas. There's a possibility because, you know, Christmas is the marquee day for them. That's when they get a lot of viewers in, watching their marquee games, LeBron, Kobe. They'll probably put the Knicks on this year. You know, the stars are out. They try to showcase the stars of the NBA on Christmas Day.
Listen, my thing. You remember when the Spurs won the championship during that strike shortened season?
Mm-hmm.
Did you thought it was a waste of a season? I know what I mean. I mean, obviously, I was excited that basketball was back, but after realizing the season was like so short. It was like a waste to me.
Let's be realistic about it. No one really cares about the NBA until the NFL season is over.
Yeah, that's true.
So they actually have up until February before people actually start caring. And I can't even say February because towards the end of February is what?
March Madness. Yeah.
So people start paying attention to the conference finals so they'll know who to pick in their bracket. So realistically, the NBA could not exist until April.
That's true.
And people really wouldn't care.
That's a valid point. Someone told me, and actually brought this argument to me, I didn't even pay it any mind, but how is this really going to affect the rookies? You know what I mean? Like, this can really affect the rookies in terms of the progression and even the second-year players because now they're going to be on, you know, they're not – going to be able to meet to improve to a level they were supposed to be if the season started earlier.
Well, I think you got a point, but I'm pretty sure most of them have a workout regimen, you know, as far as conditioning and also skills to keep themselves sharp. Most of them will probably go back to their old colleges, maybe their high school gym, just to keep themselves sharp, playing the pickup games. You know, Lord knows all the exhibition games has been going on. You know, they can get some run.
Well, let me throw this question out here. Say there's no NBA season. What are they going to do with the draft? How can they really put a team, like put, you know, in terms of lottery, have a correct lottery? Because what happens if the Lakers get the number one pick? I would think that's unfair because we know the Lakers wouldn't be a sorry team.
That's a good point. I don't think I've heard anyone bring that up yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a thing that the NBA has to definitely put together because if there is no season, there's a lot of things up in the air that, you know, people haven't really thought about.
Yeah, a lot of things up in the air. And also, I think basketball, the NBA, take a step back as far as the popularity of it.
That's true. But let's go to from, you know, the NBA and the pressing talks to something that's actually positive. The Capitals are 7-0 and streaking. Is this any different from any other year?
No. Like I tell you, I told you last year sitting in this same chair. I know the Capitals didn't start off 7-0 last year, but
they're dominating too.
Yeah, they're dominating, but you know, we've seen this all before. Wake me up when the playoffs start.
You want any peanuts?
Nah,
I have
cool,
some peanuts
man.
In my hand. Audience, I have some peanuts in my hand. I am grubbing. But for me, I think the Cowboys are improved. I think this year they actually have Alexander Semin looks motivated. I don't think anybody, if you haven't watched Capital games outside of the D.C. area, Alexander Semin is balling. This is an individual that people thought might be traded after this season or during the season, or maybe before the season. And this guy has balled his butt off. He has 6 points, 2 goals, 4 assists. And this is a guy that a lot of people thought was more talented than Ovechkin when they both came onto the scene. So that's a big thing. They can get Alexander Semin playing at a high level because, you know, the word is that he was homesick because he wanted to go back to Russia. If they can get this guy playing at a high level, added in with Backstrom and Green, they can definitely do some things. We all know the great eight. We don't need to mention his name. He's that good. But if they can get Semin playing at a high level with Ovechkin, it's a problem.
I know what it is that's getting them at a high level this year.
What?
Vodka. Russians love vodka.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, it's the vodka.
I never thought about that. Yeah. Russians like a lot of things, though, on the vodka.
Yeah, they do.
Their girls are kind of bad.
Yeah, they do. They really like our type.
Oh, they do like black people?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
I know that.
Russian women that work with me.
Do they?
Yeah, they really like black men.
I don't see a lot of Russian people in my job. I don't see a lot of them. Yeah. I would love to see them.
Yeah. Eastern Europeans?
Yes.
I love black men.
Yes. Need my wingman, like Barney on How I Met Your Mother.
Uh-huh.
We can do some things.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, from the Capitals, who are aiming high in this area, representing the DMV like we're supposed to a team that has not been representing correctly over the last couple of weeks. I'm talking about the Washington Redskins. Unfortunately, Cam Newton represented on us. When we get back, we're talking about the Skins and a Carolina game.
Urban Sports Scene.
Would it be crazy if you just stopped everything? Packed your bags and left. For a week. A month. A year. What if you left for 2 years? Would people think you'd lost your mind? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? A village crowded with Buddhist temples, not skyscrapers. A place where there isn't a word for recluse, but 1,000 words for community. Would it be crazy to go 5,000 miles from home? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To build libraries and fill them with stories? Prepare a meal with food you helped grow? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
To listen to the show, visit www.waleo.podbean.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions, comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
And also, we haven't mentioned it in a while, but we don't have a particular blog. We have blog about our records on the picks. So that's www.urbansportscene.blogspot.com. We are back up and running, so we have content. Check us out now.
All right, man. What went wrong with your team on Sunday? Let's just get into it. You talked about it before we went to break.
Yeah, what went wrong was we were outplayed, honestly. Let's be real. We were outplayed. With turnovers were a big thing in that game. You know, especially, I think, momentum changed with Jabari Gaffney fumbled before the half, and they got that field goal. Mm-hmm. I think that gave Carolina added confidence, and they know they was gonna pull this game out. Cam Newton was awesome. I'm not gonna lie, he was awesome. He got away from the rush. I think from what the pattern has been for us over the last couple for this whole season on the defensive side of the ball, we've been more aggressive blitzing, even against Michael Vick, who was more elusive than Cam Newton, and we weren't that aggressive blitzing the Carolina Panthers on defense, and I think we allowed him to be more comfortable than he, you know, would normally be, I think. And I think that was one of the main problems. What else? Turnovers and that's what I would say. And play calling to me was fair. was fair. I've had a very negative opinion of Kyle Shanahan's play calling of late. I think this game, he was a little bit conservative to a certain extent. But I understand that because John Beck's first game starting. But the Carolina, let's be real, the Carolina Panthers had one of the worst defenses in the league, and we made them look half decent.
You did. All I can say is I predicted this. This is the start of a 3-game losing streak, as I said. You know, you guys will lose this week to Buffalo. You lost to Philly, lost to Carolina, this week Buffalo. I agree with you as far as defensively, you guys weren't that aggressive. I think part of the reason of that is, one, Cam Newton's ability to get out of the pocket and make plays on the run, not only from the run but in the pocket, but also a guy called Steve Smith. I don't think you guys wanted to lock D'Angelo Hall one-on-one with Steve Smith for too many times, because you know Steve Smith, he's made a lot of big plays this year.
But he embarrassed Josh Wilson on numerous occasions. And they did play him one-on-one in the game. They just didn't do a good job. I mean, obviously, you know, they put like this. Steve Smith should have had a double team, had a man over top on every play, every passing play. There's no way Josh Wilson should be on Steve Smith man-to-man, or should be on Steve Smith, period, to be honest with you. If anything, if D'Angelo Hall is your best corner, let D'Angelo Hall shadow Steve Smith and have help over top. That's all you need. That's all you need. No one's saying that D'Angelo Hall could check Steve Smith man-on-man, because he can't, but there's somebody should always be on top. It definitely hurt not having O.J. Atagwe, and honestly, since Santana Moss, once he left the game, you could see a big difference with that wide receiving core.
Yeah, I've told you before, you guys don't have any offensive threats. You don't have anyone who – outside of Santana Moss.
Okay.
I'll say outside of Santana Moss, you guys don't have any other legitimate offensive threats. Nobody who really scares you, who you have to game plan for.
Are you including Vernon Davis? Are you including Freddie D?
Absolutely, I'm including Freddie D.
Freddie D is a player that you do have to account for. That's the truth. You do have to account for
Freddie. You have to account for him to a certain extent, but he's not that dynamic of a player where if he, you know, there's certain guys who you know will kill you if you don't cover him from the tight end position, such as a Vernon Davis, such as a Jason Witten.
Freddie's on that caliber. Look at the stats.
Nah.
Look at the stats, man. Look at the stats.
The Eagles try.
Everybody's trying to account for Fred Davis. He's been in a lot of people's game plan to take out the games for the Washington Redskins. It's been Santana and Freddie D. They've been trying to take these two out of the game. I agree with you, though. The lack of playmakers on the field at the wide receiving position, other than Santana. When Santana left the game, you can see it was obvious that our wide receiving corps struggled. This is why I say, you know, we don't have any – we have a bunch of third-string wide receivers on our team other than Santana Moss.
I agree.
And the wide receiver that you did draft has potential, but you don't want to play him, and Hankerson.
Hankerson actually started.
No, he played it. No, he played. He played, but he didn't play that much.
He'll start this week probably, wasn't he?
No, he won't play. He won't start this week.
Who?
Probably start Armstrong, Terrence Austin, and everything. Okay. Everybody over Hankerson. It's time to play a guy that has ability. He might drop passes, don't get me wrong, but there was a guy in Michigan who dropped a lot of passes in college and drops passes in the NFL named Braylon Edwards. Mm-hmm. And he did the same thing. He made a spectacular catch and dropped easy passes. Hankerson isn't better than Braylon Edwards, but I'm saying he has potential. If a guy has potential, why not play a guy why not play a guy that has potential to do something than a guy that you already know where they're going to max out at?
True.
You know, that's my problem with the Washington Redskins.
Speaking of maxing out, let's talk about the guy who I actually thought should have been a starter from the beginning of the season, John Beck. First start in, 4 years? If you had to grade him, A, B, C, D, or E, what would your grade be?
Well, we got
we're just talking about his performance.
His performance?
His performance. You take out, you know, the Redskins didn't win.
Yeah.
Just grading his performance. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to read some Facebook and Twitter responses, but I'll say my opinion first. I'm going to give him a B minus.
B minus?
Yeah. I mean, he did some things I didn't like. Like in the first half, he was terrible, in my opinion. I think he locked into one side of the field. So if once he looked you down, he was throwing you the ball. It wasn't like he was surveying the field. He was, you know, if he saw you and you didn't have to be open, he was going his first read and he was throwing the thing. I think in that game, just like Rex Grossman, we all, you know, are negative on Rex Grossman about how many possible interceptions he could have had in prior games, even though, I mean, the defenders dropped the ball. In that Carolina game, there were about 2 to 3 picks that were dropped by Carolina defenders. So, in that regard, yeah, you know, there's some things he has to work on. But for a guy who missed who hasn't started in 5 years or something like that, mm-hmm. he played well in the second half. But we also had to recognize that the Carolina Panthers have one of the worst defenses in the NFL. So, how can we really grade them fairly? That's how I looked at it.
Okay. I guess I'll give my grade. If I had to give him a grade, I would probably say a C. I think he locked in on receivers too much. He missed some open opportunities down the field. But I will say this, just because of the injuries on your offensive line, I do think Beck is a better fit for you all now with his mobility, his ability to make plays outside of the pocket.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree. We have on Facebook, Kamal Hamid has a C+, only because he lost. Mm-hmm. Thomas Curl, hard to grade, but I'll give him a C. He missed Armstrong for a touchdown. I saw that play. That annoyed the hell out of me too. But he said locked into his targets. On Twitter, Ryan Sykes says Skins will be drafting a QB in this year's draft. Probably Barkley from USC. I'm trying to get Andrew Luck. So I'm trying to
never happen.
I'm trying to lose the rest of our games. Well, get the third pick overall, and then trade I'm hoping the St. Louis Rams get the first slot and trade a first, second, and next year's first for Andrew Luck.
Never happen.
You know, okay, man, I'm just telling you. The Mad Jotter has L for loser. It's harsh, man. Harsh. Big up to his podcast show, man. He's a cool cat. Epic Sports Show. Yeah, big ups to him. Jamie Graham. Oh, so he gave him a C+, assuming that the INT was Hankerson's fault.
Mm-hmm.
He had some drops from Gaffney, Davis, and the Carolina defenders, which I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Shue 45. First half was an F, and the second half was a C, which makes it a D.
Okay,
harsh. Y'all real harsh out here.
Yeah, they are.
A D.
They hard on
that. I mean, they threw it for almost, I think, close to 300 yards, right?
I believe so.
Something like that. And Banks, 211. Dang, 211? Really?
Yeah.
You the man now. Thinks it was a B performance. He missed a few passes, but was mobile. Like what you said, he was a mobile quarterback. Yeah, Beck was mobile. He was. He definitely showed that side, and we didn't have that side with Grossman.
Yeah. I think he's going to have even a tougher time with losing his biggest playmaker, Santana Moss. London Fletcher was also out, and Tim Hightower, another guy on the offense. How do you think that's going to affect the Redskins in the next coming weeks?
Like I said, man, this is time for players to step up. Everybody's talking about they want a shot to do things. Beck got a shot because of Grossman's poor play. It's time for some of these younger wide receivers to step up when Santana being out. Especially, you know, like I said, Shanahan, I would love for him to give Hankerson a shot, see what he can do. I think he can get open. That's the most important thing to me, of wide receiver can get open. Obviously, catching the ball is a big thing too. But if you can get open, man, you pretty much beat the whole obstacle of being a wide receiver right there.
Yeah, that's the toughest thing at the NFL level for receivers is just getting open. If you make it to this level, then obviously you can catch the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
The biggest thing is just getting open, being disciplined with your route running, and getting off the line of scrimmage when you see press coverage and recognizing coverage.
And also, you know, Hightower being out, I'm not sure we're going to suit three running backs or even suit two, but I would love to see Evan Royster, you know, for come up from the practice squad and be on the team. I doubt it. Probably use that position for something else, but I would like to see him. But this is just, you know, this is a time for Terrain to do something. Last game, I think he had like -5 yards on 2 carries. And the game before that against the Eagles, he didn't look as motivated as he did as he looked against the Rams.
Well, I'll say this: against the Eagles, he encountered an upper echelon defense.
That's not it at all. He didn't. No, that's not at all. He felt good about himself again. That's what it was, and he's not that good. I want to see Halu run the ball more. He didn't run the ball enough against the Eagles, and he didn't run the ball enough against the Carolina Panthers.
And
one rushing attack.
Both times.
You know, I have a theory why the Redskins lost both games, but I will get to that later, though.
Okay.
But I want to see Helu more. I want to see some of these young guys we drafted. I want to see them a lot more. Obviously, you thought they were something. Let's showcase them, you know. I mean, the young players that we do play, they produced. Let's see what these guys can do. And you drafted some of these guys higher than some of the guys that that are producing now. It's ridiculous. I want to see Hankerson play, definitely. I want to see Leonard Hankerson play. He needs to play.
Well, when we get back, we'll predict not only the Redskins versus Bills, you know where I stand on that, but our other games also.
Urban Sports Team.
Besides being NBA champions, what do Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott share in common? Hi, I'm Dr. Griffin Rogers, bringing you healthy moments from the NIH. I'm the director of the National Institute of Diabetes, Digestive, and Kidney Diseases. During their basketball careers, both Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott battled kidney disease and returned to the game after getting transplants. Although they share a unique story, there's nothing unique about kidney disease in our African-American community. We are disproportionately affected by kidney failure, and for some patients, kidney transplantation may be the best treatment option that allows them to live much like they did before their kidneys failed. But here's the problem. The number of organs donated by our community is low, which means it's hard to match kidney donors and recipients. To learn more about kidney donation, visit organdonor.gov or mymagicdc.com. This is Dr. Griffin Rogers. Join me next week for more healthy moments.
You can listen to us on Apple G's radio show on Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by the lovely Vivian and Coach.
Yes, cool Rodney. People.
Coach Rodney.
Yes. Cool people. Wasn't on the show last week. Feel bad about it. And I know, like, college football got good. I mean, it was good on Saturday. I know they had a lot to say about college football, what went on with the upsets, which we'll talk about later. But, yeah, big ups to Coach and Viv. Cool people. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Matchups. You said you already, you know, pretty much gave us a tease.
I told you.
You gave us a tease.
A three-game losing streak.
All right. So, obviously, you have the Redskins losing to the Bills as
Absolutely.
Your pick. Ray Jeezy, which I wrote down somewhere on my production notes, which I know I can find. It's right here. Got it. Ray Jeezy has the Redskins win this game. I do too. But before we, you know, get into the other games, let me briefly say our standings. I didn't do it. Right now, currently, Ray's 5-7. I'm 4-8. I mean, I'm sorry, you're 4-8. And me, I'm 3-9. Last place, you know. It's not really looking good.
So if you're betting with us, you've lost some money.
Exactly. That's how I said that on our blog. Like, you betting with us, you getting – if you listening to us, you have a problem.
Pretty much.
You have a real problem. I'm not even lying to you. But last week, some of the games. Last week, when games we got right and wrong, whatever. San Diego and the Jets, we all picked that wrong. We all picked San Diego, which failed us. Thank you, Vincent Jackson, for dropping that pass. That's why it happened.
Oh, thank you, North Turner, for not being aggressive in the second half. Jesus Christ.
That too. The Bears versus Tampa, I got that right. Easy. Anyway, Atlanta versus Detroit, Ray got that right. I know he's boosted. We got a lot to talk about that Atlanta-Detroit game. There's some dirty talk between both teams after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Houston versus Tennessee, I picked Houston. Well, I don't know why y'all picked Tennessee.
Yeah,
Matthew Hasselbeck be hyping you up.
Yeah,
you been watching The View and seeing his brother's wife.
Nah, man,
I don't know what's going.
Nah, I like women with some meat on their bones.
I hear you, homie. I hear you.
It's winter time, cuffing season, baby.
Chicken winging. Continuing with our picks. Like I said, you picked the Bills. Me and Ray picked the Redskins.
Okay.
All right. New England versus Pitt. This is a difficult one. Ray picked New England.
I'm going with New England.
Yeah, I'm going to go with New England. Yeah, I'm going to go with New England, too. The matchup, man. We're going to review that, why some of these picks happened, why we chose some of these picks. Dallas versus Philly. Ray picked Dallas. You're choosing who?
Do you need to even ask?
Me and Will are choosing Philly. San Diego versus Kansas City. Who you choosing?
San Diego gets back to their winning ways this week.
Okay, we all in agreement with San Diego. Okay, now let's go to one of the main matchups, New England versus Pitt. Why you have New England beating Pitt?
For the simple reason, New England likes to spread you out on offense. If you play, if your base defense is a 3-4, it creates opportunities for versus a spread offense. Tom Brady is a guy who's very surgically accurate, and he doesn't have a favorite receiver. His favorite receiver is whoever's open. So that's why I'm going with New England.
This is my reason. The Jets, for a 3-4, they stifle Tom Brady. They make it difficult for him. But this is a situation for the Steelers, which I don't understand for the life of me. They have a good scheme, good linebackers, good interior.
Aging.
But, you know, for let's just say for the last 5 years, good linebackers. The D-line is good, usually really good. But it's always, other than Polamalu, they always are weak at the DB, at cornerback. You know, Ike Taylor's your number one. He's a good cornerback, don't get me wrong, but he's nothing special.
Yeah.
You know, and when they play the Patriots, they know this. That's why, like you said, the Patriots spread them out. They know they don't have no DBs to check their wide receivers, and that's why Tom Brady eats them alive. It's the talent they put at the cornerback position to me that allows the Patriots to dominate the Steelers, and that's why to me I got New England winning that game. Dallas versus Philly, we gotta talk about this game. It's a conference game, big game. Vic
Sunday night.
Vic NBC. Versus Cowboys. Romo versus Vic. Tell me why. Obviously you picking the team. Tell me why you got them winning, man.
One, because of my team, but two, in all honesty, Dallas cornerbacks, even though their play has been improved this year, they still have lapses. They can still be beat deep. Their offensive line isn't holding up like it has in prior years. And just this year opposed to previous years, the Philadelphia Eagles don't need to necessarily blitz to bring pressure. Entering into last week, I think, the Eagles defense had 17 sacks, and out of those 17 sacks, I believe 15 were from defensive linemen. And also, Andy Reid discovered the running game. LeSean McCoy, a healthy dose of LeSean McCoy will keep DeMarcus Ware off of Michael Vick, coupled with the screen passes and the use of Brent Celek.
Brent Celek, that's a name that's a forgotten man. But the reason why the Eagles win this game is as simple as this, man. They had a bye week to prepare for the Dallas Cowboys. Andy Reid is, for whatever it is, whatever people want to say about Andy Reid, is an excellent coach. You give him an extra week to prepare for a team. I guarantee the Eagles will look much better than they looked in prior weeks. Even when they played the Redskins, they look better than how they played against the Redskins. So I can see the Eagles playing Dallas and actually making it a laugher. I know a lot of people don't think of it because it's a conference game, it's a division game, but I can see the Eagles dominating this game. Vic's going to be rested. The line will be rested. LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, we'll have Jason Peters and Trent Cole back.
So some things, I think some positive things can happen. And Romo on primetime? God forbid. That's a disaster ready to happen. But I skipped my Redskins. I don't know how I did that, man.
Probably because you didn't want to think about the agony of defeat.
Well, no, I'm going to tell you. This is what I wanted to. We talked about it before the commercial break, why I think the Redskins have a good chance to beat the Bills. What do the teams that the Redskins lost to have in common? At the quarterback position.
Mobile quarterback.
Exactly.
Fitzpatrick is
not mobile.
He's not mobile, but
he's not mobile.
Shifty in the pocket.
He's not mobile.
He's shifty.
No, but he's not mobile. He could be shifty, but he's not mobile. The teams that have the quarterbacks that, and I don't even put Romo because Romo didn't give us problems. But the predominant two that have dominated the Redskins, honestly, that made it hard. And Vic didn't dominate, but who made it hard was Vic and Cam Newton. They made it very hard. This is a pocket quarterback. The Redskins will put pressure on him. I think this is the week the defense feels good about themselves again, and I think you'll see that. But I say this, though. They have to be careful. Still be careful with Fred Jackson. He's a dangerous player. He will have an impact. But I'll say this, that passing game won't be as lethal against the Redskins, and the Redskins will bounce back fairly, I won't say easily, but they'll bounce back respectably, and I think they'll win this game close.
Okay.
That's my main reason, just because I think that Fitzpatrick, is not a mobile quarterback.
Okay.
Let's go back. Let's go to last week's games. Tim Tebow starts, wins. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going crazy. Tim Tebow's the man. He's the best quarterback in the world. Not really.
Not really. But what it does show to all you kids out there that are young, if you don't have sex, you can become great at what you do. Tim Tebow has not fornicated, and he's endured a lot. He's God's favorite, and that's why the Broncos came back and they beat the Dolphins.
That's true. And, you know, it shows that abstinence is bliss, I guess.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm lying. So I can't go with that one. Tim Tebow has shown that you can, and to it, you got to add this point too. And kids, to play quarterback, you don't even know how to throw the ball. You don't. Nope. All you got to do is eat your, you know, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, like Hulk Hogan said.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, and you too become an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Without throwing the ball. I mean, if you can just be a big dude running the ball.
You also need Josh McDaniels to believe in you.
Yes, you need Josh McDaniels to believe in you. But all jokes aside, my beef is Tim Tebow is getting so much hype for this W. And if you watch the game, you saw that the Denver Broncos defense made a big play for them to even get the chance to win the game by creating a fumble. They did three runs, and the kicker kicked a 50-plus field goal in overtime to win the game. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as if Tim Tebow drove him.
Yeah, it's not like in Tebow we trust. They were like, okay, Tim Tebow, it's overtime. Go out there, win this game for us. No.
No, not at all. Like, I got a stats here somewhere.
Well, actually, I think the one thing that's kind of deceiving about his stats is he actually had like a 97 quarterback rating.
97?
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't throw a pick.
Yeah.
13 for 27, 161 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yeah. He rushed the ball. He had 8 carries for 65 yards. Now, if you watch the game, he had been wide open. He had one guy open, splitting the seam, and he overthrew it. The man can't throw. Seriously.
No, not at all.
And for Denver fans, if you really want this dude to be your quarterback, really for like the next 10 years who can't throw, and everybody said in the draft that he was going to improve his throwing motion, and it's still the same. If you all really think this guy's going to get you to John Elway status, you are kidding yourselves. Seriously. Like, this guy won't get you a Super Bowl. He won't get you anything. And on Twitter, I had his name on here. Is it on here? Yeah, here you go. I said, is Tim Tebow, the question was, Do you think Tim Tebow will be your franchise quarterback? Would you want him to be a franchise quarterback? Someone said, I hope not. And this individual's name is Power Cat Vision. I hope not. Like the guy that is declarated as one of the best college quarterbacks, one of the probably popular player in the NFL to be on the bench for a while. And
I do think this. I think Tim Tebow, from all intents and purposes, he seems like a great guy. He seems like a great leader. But if I had to, I just wouldn't put my money on him being a franchise quarterback.
Got you. Well, speaking from one quarterback to the next, Carson Palmer made his, I guess, debut for the Oakland Raiders against the Chiefs. I think he came in for Kyle Bowler.
During the third quarter.
Yeah, who was terrible. Then Kyle Bowler had 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
Same as Carson. Oh, yeah. This is my question. If Jason Campbell gets healthy, well, he'll get healthy. I think he can come back towards the end of the season.
Five to seven weeks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So when he gets healthy, and if Carson Palmer is still playing the same way, obviously not 3 interceptions every week.
Mm-hmm.
And say he's not consistent and this team is still pushing for the playoffs. I don't know how that can happen, but if it's going down that way, does Jason Campbell get his job back? Should he get his job back?
In theory, yes, he should get his job back, but because of the investment the Raiders have made, no, he won't get his job back. They gave up a first this year and a conditional second-round pick next year. And also, you got to look at Carson Palmer's contract. Next year, the guy makes $13
million. Yeah.
The year after that, I think he makes $14 million. Then the year after that, he makes $15 million, I believe. So Carson Palmer, for all intents and purposes, will be the Oakland Raiders quarterback from this year and years on and for the foreseeable future. Jason Campbell, guy gets a lot of He's screwed. He's screwed.
In
Washington, he didn't really get a fair shake. Then he goes to Oakland, leads him to 6-0 in the division last year. This year, they look like they're about to make the playoffs. Gets injured, and then he'll be out of a job. But all I can say is, you know, to me, Jason Campbell is one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the NFL. So he should have a job, a starting job, somewhere where he can compete for a starting job next year.
I don't need to add to that, man. You pretty much hit it on the head. After the Falcons-Lions game, which, you know, the Falcons won that game, I think it was 23-16?
Yeah.
Okay. Sue was talking trash about was claiming Matt Ryan's injury, saying that get the cart, him and Averill, get the cart while he was hurt. I think he hurt his ankle and his knee. Then Sue responded by saying that the Falcons O line is dirty,
mm-hmm.
and
he called Roddy White Rodney.
Rodney, yeah, he said the Falcons the offensive line is dirty, and he said what happened to Matt Ryan was karma because basically the offensive line hurt Matt Ryan, so he said it was karma. Who are you more likely to believe, Sue or the Falcons team? Or the Atlanta Falcons, excuse me.
Just from what I saw during the game, I believe in Dominique Sue.
Okay.
Just because if you look at it.
We busy out here. This is real right here. This is real entertainment.
USS ENT. And Dominique Sue was a couple of yards away from Matt Ryan. So what the Falcons were saying was he was standing over top of Matt Ryan, taunting him. He couldn't be standing over top of him because he was like 5-10 yards away. Did they overhear him saying possibly go get the cart, something like that? That's possible. Just if you look at how the mean, nasty streak that Ndamukong Suh has and then his comments the next day, there's a possibility he said that, but for now, all intents and purposes, I believe in Ndamukong Suh.
Ray would be pissed right now. Ray would be like, what the hell are you talking about? Ndamukong Suh is Nigerian. Big up, Niger t-shirt, finger paint. I have to agree with Atlanta, only because of track record, because some of the things that Dominique Sue has done in games has been nothing but dirty. That's the only reason why I would go with Atlanta, just that he's just been one of the most dirtiest NFL players in the league this year.
I'm not going to say dirty. He's got a mean streak.
Dirty, mean streak. Dirty, mean streak is nice for being dirty. All right? It's a nice way of being saying dirty. You know, tackling quarterbacks after the whistle and slamming them like it's a WWF or something. I mean, he's
aggressive.
Yeah, overly aggressively mean. But but you know, it is what it is. Ndamukong Suh, you know, his reputation. It is what it is.
He's building a reputation.
Yeah, it's true.
As one of the most dirtiest players.
Yeah, he is, and he is definitely the most dominant D tackle in the game. But you know, I think it comes with the territory when you're that dominant. You want to show how dominant you are, so you are. You will have a mean streak. Will is dirty, but a mean streak. So I'm on the side of Atlanta, and I feel bad actually. Let me read out one more tweet. It was about the Redskins. BJG7. I want to carry our Redskin fans out there. Beck did a good job. First start in 5 years. All right, I shot you out. I'm sorry. My apologies. But Dan, what's next on the notes? We jive going through this thing.
Fantasy football.
Fantasy football. Oh, yes, your favorite time, Will.
Yeah.
Fantasy football.
Yes, sir.
All right, this is our fantasy football picks, starters, sits, and sleepers. Will, I'm going to let you go first. Are you prepared or you want me to go first?
I'm going to let you go first.
Of course. I figured you would. And let me get my notes because am I prepared? I know I had. Here you go. Yes. We'll start with the starts. I'm going to say start No'Shawn Moreno. Willis McGahee, mm-hmm. is out, I think, for the whole season, basically. Uh-huh. The Lions, they're playing the Lions. The Lions have given up 100 yards to Frank Gore, and last week was Michael Turner. So look out for No'Shawn Moreno to maybe have a good game and to help save Tim Tebow, because we know that they're going to run the ball heavy because Tim Tebow can't pass the ball anyway.
I'm going to go with a guy for start. I'm going to go with Braylon Edwards, a guy you mentioned earlier in the show. He's coming off the injured list. They play Cleveland this week. Josh Morgan went out earlier during the season. Michael Crabtree and Vernon Davis obviously are the number one and number two options there. But you know, with Braylon Edwards, they might, it'll open up the field a little bit more. Cleveland hasn't been playing the, well, they're
playing good defense.
They're playing good defense, but Joe Hayden's probably going to try to take away Michael Crabtree, so that leaves Sheldon Brown old and broke down against Braylon Edwards on the outside. So I'm going with Braylon Edwards.
Yeah, either or, you can't go wrong with that. That's a good pick. I'm also for the sit portion of our fantasy section. I'm gonna go around sit Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like I said earlier, the Redskins defense plays well against non-mobile quarterbacks, so I'm gonna say sit Ryan Fitzpatrick in this game. I think he'll be on his back a lot in this game.
For sit, I'm gonna go with, who did I have for sit? I'm sorry, I had it written down there. Well, let me check my notes.
Take your time, man.
For sit, I'm gonna go sit Matt Castle. Matt Castle against the San Diego Chargers defense. San Diego's defense has been steadily improving. I'm going with it's a division game. I'm going with sit Matt Castle.
You are the man. Hey, I'm gonna go as for sleepers now. My sleeper is gonna be early Doucette. I think just on the low, he's become Kevin Cobb's second favorite wide receiver on the team. Last two games, he had 13 receptions for 122 yards and a touchdown. And I think against the Ravens, they're going to probably try to spread him out, because I don't see them trying to go, you know, I formation on the Baltimore Ravens. Spread him out. Cobb works better when you spread him out anyway, because you like his background with Houston in college. Spread him out, and you'll see early Doucette in some favorable matchups with the lesser cornerbacks of the Baltimore Ravens. So early Doucette would be my sleeper.
Last week I was wrong about this guy. I told you to sit him.
Yeah,
but my sleeper this week is Bashante Sanko.
Me and Ray was going on that one earlier.
Hey, I was unprepared, so I had to think of somebody. I had to be quick with it, man. I was quick with it. I'm going to say go with Bashante Sanko. He looks like he's developing rapport with Christian Ponder, and especially in the red zone, he looks like he's their number one target. So sleeper Bashante Sanko from Morgan State.
Real talk, man. We was going on that one hard. We were going ham on that one, man. On the Urban Sports Scene blog site, it's on there. Like, you know, I told people not to listen to us on Fantasy Football. I'm about to tell people not to listen to you, man. Keep saying Bashante Sanko.
You can listen to me, because I'm going to tell you why. One off one championship when I was in a league with you and the guy who's not
two.
Here, who hasn't won a championship.
I won two. I won two championships.
He didn't win a championship while I was in the league. Second of all, in my other league this year, my money league, I'm 5-1-1.
You better than me. I haven't won a game in my money league.
Yeah, I'm 5-1-1. And then my other money league, don't want to talk about. I'm not that bad. 3-4.
So basically, like, you're trying to sabotage other people who listen to the show.
I'm not trying to sabotage.
Because you're trying to keep all the secrets to yourself and sabotage other people.
I can't pass on my wealth of knowledge to everyone when it comes to fantasy football. Obviously, I've established a reputation as being one of the better fantasy football players in America.
So if you establish a brand.
A brand, yes, a brand. Yes, sir.
Somebody's full of it. Never mind. oh, man. All right, with one more win against the Cardinals, the Rangers fantasy can be reality. A championship, World Series style. When we get back, we'll talk about the World Series after the break.
Urban Sports Scene.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but
felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
You can listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stillafan. The show is hosted by West Coast Stillafan and Doc Hancock. Yeah, that's true.
Doc Hancock.
You thought I was going to say Jersey Mike Jr.?
I did.
So, yeah, Jersey Mike is retired from the game.
Rapped. Oh, he retired?
Yeah, retired. It's his...
What about the Futurist Corner?
I think he might be doing. I'm not sure, honestly. Honestly, I can't. I'm not going to speak out of context to say like he's on that or not. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I ain't going to jump out of pocket. You know what I mean? Just say something like that. You know, but he's not on there. But World Series time.
World Series time.
It's serious out here, man. One more win, the Rangers could be your new World Series champions.
Yes, sir.
Do you see this happening? Do you see them ending it out tomorrow night? Matter of fact.
I said Rangers in six.
So you have to stick to it?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick to it. I think the Rangers will close this out tomorrow, and then this will start the, much to the dismay of the Cardinals fans, this will start a downward spiral for the Cardinals because Albert Pujols is out of there, baby.
Yeah, I think, like, this series reminded me before, like, the 17-6 game three game. It reminded me.
That was a great matter of fact. Did you see that game? That was a great game.
Yeah, that was a fan-friendly game.
It was.
It was a fan-friendly game.
I can honestly say I was out at the bar with a young lady.
Get it in, buddy.
Yeah. and I really wasn't. She's very attractive, very smart. But for some reason, even we were talking, but, you know. Most my attention was on the game, yeah. And I usually, you know, I really don't watch baseball.
Yeah, I know
like
you
that.
Don't. Yeah, you make that obvious.
Yeah, baseball World Cup.
Yeah,
I mean, I've made it obvious.
Yeah, yes, you have.
I let the world know my stance.
Yeah, he's a jackass. But yeah, no, I agree. That game three was exciting. I think, but like I was saying, it reminded me of 91, before that game, it reminded me of the 91 World Series with the Twins and the Braves when every game was competitive. That game kind of took that away from me. But the most of the games have been very competitive, and I don't see this game being any different. I won't be surprised if Game 6 goes into extra innings and the Cardinals pull it out. I think this has to go 7. It's that competitive. It has to go 7. Albert Pujols needs to step up, though. You know, Game 3 was the only game he produced. You know, if you look at his stats, they're mind-boggling. In terms of the production, but it all came from Game 3. I have it here somewhere. Yeah, Pujols had his average is .278, 3 home runs, 6 RBIs. All his RBIs and home runs came in Game 3. Yeah, he was 5-for-6 in Game 3, 3 home runs, 6 RBIs. So you're telling me probably one of the best baseball players of our lifetime isn't producing consistently?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not like the Rangers, to me, have the best pitching staff in the world. He should be able to produce. He should be able to dominate games in this series. And he had opportunities last night in that game. And he struck out when they needed him to come up with a hit. This is why I'm starting to think that Albert Pujols has dropped off a little bit.
Do you think he's mentally just ready for it to be over?
No, I think he's dropped off a little bit. The Albert Pujols that I know, the MVP – the perennial MVP candidate, Albert Pujols, that I know, doesn't strike out this much. Like, this whole season, he's striking out more than I've ever seen him strike out before. You know, he's grounding in double plays. I mean, that happens, obviously, because he's not a fast guy, so he's going to ground in double plays. But he's a contact hitter. You know, they did a hit and run, and he struck out. And he swung at a ball. Albert Pujols has a great pitching. He has a great eye. And, you know, he's just not the Albert Pujols that I'm accustomed to seeing. But that could be a valid point. I never thought of that. I'm not going to lie. I never thought of that.
That's why I'm here. I'm here to challenge you.
I know you are, man. Challenge me.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you for challenging me.
No problem.
You're the man now. So the series ended. Let's say the series ended today or whatever. Who would be your MVP of the series? Obviously, you know, you're picking the Rangers. So who would be the Rangers?
Cruz. I would go with Cruz.
You go with Cruz?
Yeah.
Ooh, no.
Nah,
go Beltre.
No. Yeah, Cruz, Beltre.
Go Beltre.
Nate, yeah, Beltre. I'm going to go Beltre.
Yeah, Beltre's had a good series, matter of fact. Beltre's hitting over like 300, 381, I believe. He has a home run.
Yeah, I got him confused. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I know you did, man. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here to have your back.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we're a team, dude. Exactly. We're a team. But yeah, Beltre, if they did win, I definitely would have Beltre as the MVP. If it's on the Cardinals side, because the average is still relatively high and he's still a superstar player, I would go with Pujols. Mm-hmm. But for the Cardinals to win, Pujols has to step up. They're not winning this series if Pujols doesn't act like Albert Pujols again.
Well, St. Louis will have a better chance of winning this game because actually the phones will actually, to the bullpen, will actually work.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the most definitely. That was interesting.
That was very interesting.
And let me speak on game five. Tony La Russa, if that's his excuse, let's just knock that out the way. Let's say that didn't occur. The way he managed his bullpen in that game was terrible, mm-hmm. I think. You know, having the lefty go against Napoli wasn't intelligent. And I don't care, whatever. I would have stalled time. I might have done something else. I wouldn't. There's other ways you can go about it. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't have had him go against Napoli. It just wasn't Tony La Russa. Like, he usually makes great moves out of the bullpen, and I didn't see it. But any in this game six, any unlikely heroes in the game that you think can come out? I mean, will show out?
Heroes, not so much. A guy I look, because I think the Rangers will close it out, a guy I think who will have a stronger, a very strong game six would be Josh Hamilton.
Needs to. Yeah. He needs to. I mean, he's hitting below 200 in this series. I mean, Josh Hamilton is your best player. He needs to step up. Yeah. Really does. Just like I said for Albert Pujols, Josh Hamilton needs to step up. Like, I agree. In this game, because it's going to be tough. It's on the road, which we've talked about. I heard you and Ray talk about earlier. Was saying like it's stupid for the All-Star game to dictate who has home field advantage.
Dumbest thing ever.
It is. And, like, I think, Bucks, you have to change it after this year. This is a prime example. The Rangers are a division-winning team, and the Cardinals are a wild-card team, and they have the home field advantage. It's ridiculous. But my unsung hero, I have the Cards winning it all. I'm sticking with that. Furcal has to step up. As a leadoff hitter, he has to get on base and set that table for Pujols, Berkman, and Holiday. He needs to set the table. And even Freeze. He needs to set it up, because if he can get that lineup going, if he's on base, you have to pitch to Big Albert.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that's the big thing. But let's stop talking about the World Series. I'm going to go into some other news. The Phillies declined the options on Roy Oswalt and Brad Lidge. Now we're gonna talk about Lidge. We'll talk about Oswalt because he's an ace type pitcher.
Yeah.
Where do you see him going? Because he's on the market now, and there's teams who need starting pitching.
Well, anytime there's a team that needs starting pitching and they're free agent, of course you're gonna
the Yankees
for one. Two, possibly. I know that the Texas Rangers are in the market for a starting pitcher, so
Yeah. Whether
they win the World Series or not, I could definitely see them making a play for him.
He's from Texas.
Yeah, he's from Texas. A team that would be interesting if they actually made a play, maybe Milwaukee, the Brewers.
They will need. That's a good play. That's a good idea.
That's one of the things that they lacked during the offseason. I mean, during the postseason. Was another arm, a front line arm. So possibly those three teams.
I'm gonna say the Yankees are a good one, but I think Yankees are gonna try to get Wilson out of Texas. That's the main guy they're trying to get at, the lefty out of Texas. Honestly, you don't think this is funny, but I think the Orioles will try to make a big play for Roy Oswalt.
You're right.
You could think it's funny, but it's the truth though. Good one. I do think it's funny. Don't get all hype. I do think it's funny. It's the truth, though. They will make a big play for Roy Oswalt. They need a starting pitcher. He actually fits the criteria of the starting pitcher they need. And a former ace, because on the Phillies wasn't an ace, though. A former ace that has success and that can stabilize a young pitching staff who they can learn from.
What about our own hometown team, the Nationals?
Oh, Nationals have their. They have their ace in the hole. They have two, actually.
Strasburg
and Zimmerman. They got two young studs. They'll be okay. That's one team that don't need anything right now. And I mean that. But you think it was a good move by the Phillies to decline the option on him?
Yeah. I think with the other needs that they have, that the Phillies have, you don't necessarily want to tie up your financial resources in Brad Lidge and Roy Oswalt when you already have guys like Cliff Lee, Holiday,
and Hamill.
Cole Hamill. So.
I hear you. Texas, well, let's, we talked about the World Series. Texas has a lot going on. But do you know there's a Texas team that kind of stole the show on Saturday? When we get back from the commercial break, we'll talk about it.
Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, what's up? It's your man Ray Rogers of the Urban Sports Scene. And recently, Will T and I set out on a mission to see what the people think of our show. All right, there's Mike Wilbon right there. Wilbon, what you think of our show, dog?
I should say the next, it's the big thing.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. We feel the same way. Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers. There's Doc Rivers. Go ahead, Will T. Get an interview with him.
Coach Rivers, how do you feel about Ray no longer being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I mean, Ray, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah. I feel the same way, man. I thought I was great as the host, but it's all good. Big ups to my man, Fish. There's Alvin Gentry, man. Coach Gentry, what you think about Fish being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I've always been a big fan of his.
Oh, so you familiar with him before the Urban Sports Scene when he was host of the Mac Fish Show?
So no, I'm not saying that, okay? No.
So what are you saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. There's President Obama. Obama, my man Will T here, he dissed World Cup, man. What you think about him dissing World Cup?
He's a jackass.
Keep it locked to the Urban Sports Scene because you never know who's listening.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams.
On Saturday, welcome back, first of all.
Sure, welcome back.
Last segment. On Saturday, Texas Tech upset Oklahoma and Michigan State did the same thing to Wisconsin. I'll say this, I was shocked that Wisconsin lost. I actually thought the Wisconsin team would be vying for a national championship.
I did too. I feel stupid now. I said that stuff on the show today, be the only team to be an SEC team.
Another wrong statement by Wally Ola.
Yeah. You're definitely not Mr. 85%.
Nah, we don't have 85% on the show either. I mean, if the person who claims 85% was on the show too, we don't have 85%.
Yeah, you can tell by his record and the games that he picks. But anyway, are either of these teams eliminated from the national championship game, teams being Oklahoma and Wisconsin?
Well, are they eliminated? I'll say no at the moment, mm-hmm. because they're strong one-loss teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they have an opportunity. They still can beat good teams. Yeah, they can still be good teams, and they still have good wins on their resumes for them to actually do stuff. Wisconsin might not. Well, I'll say, let me take that back. Wisconsin's done. They can't build their resume.
Yeah, on their resume.
They can't build their resume more. The Big Ten isn't as strong. They can't beat Michigan State. They do have a conference championship game, so that at least, depending on who they play in the conference championship, they have an opportunity. But Oklahoma has a good chance to still get back. Because Oklahoma State's on that schedule, and mm-hmm. they can still have an opportunity to beat Oklahoma State.
Yeah, Oklahoma State, the current BCS ratings came out this past Sunday on ESPN, and Oklahoma State is number 3 behind number 1. LSU and number 2 Alabama.
Yeah, big game coming up in a couple weeks between Alabama and LSU, which will again shake up the whole BCS. Because once someone has to lose, it's going to shake up the whole BCS. Question to you, Will, is which teams, in terms of the upsets that happened on Saturday, is impacted? Other teams is impacted in a positive way because of what happened with the upsets in terms of BCS.
Oklahoma State, to me, just because just logically looking at it, if LSU and Alabama, they play this weekend. They don't play each other this weekend, but
they play. Yeah. I think they should play this week.
Yeah, so if both of those teams hold on, in theory, they'll both be 1-2 heading in the next week, and then eventually one of them will have to lose. So Oklahoma State is in prime position to slide up into the number 2 spot in the BCS, and if they're able to steadfast and maintain and hold strong, they could beating Oklahoma and then also winning out in the Big 12 championship, they could possibly be in it for the national championship.
Yeah, I like your point. You have a valid point. I'm a differ with you only because I just think that Oklahoma, I think Boise has the best chance. They've had a tough schedule earlier. So they won some tough games early on the road and things of that sort. So Boise is tested. I think Boise, and we all know at the end, Boise usually finishes undefeated because that's just how Boise goes. But Oklahoma State,
they still have to play Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the fact, if they, you're right, if they beat Oklahoma, they're done. And like, to me, they're in. They can beat Oklahoma, they're in. But if they don't beat Oklahoma, you already stated like Alabama, LSU, one is going to be eliminated because of it. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have, like I said, you're going to have that happen within Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Now, Boise is in the driver's seat. They're in the driver's seat. Like, I mean, I feel like Oklahoma, we have to actually judge Oklahoma State when they play Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the telling sign. But Boise, to me, already is in the driver's seat. Like, if they lose, something's wrong.
Well, here's the thing with Boise. Just because of the strength of the opponents they play.
It can always go down.
Yeah, it can always go down. But so for them, they have to put their foot on everybody's throat from this week on out. They got to run the score up.
And when we see from Boise, when they play, that typically happens for Boise State. They typically do that. Mm-hmm. In the last couple of years, they do that. Just they didn't have an opportunity to me, I think to a lot of people, to actually have a chance to get in the national championship game because there was always two undefeated teams. This situation, this year, there's an opportunity, honestly, for there not to be a power team won't be undefeated.
Yeah, but I tell you this, if Boise State does make it to the national championship game, this all those supporters of the BCS to say, see, we told you, yeah. It works, the formula works. A team like Boise State, undefeated, they played a decent schedule. The BCS, it works. But, you know, for people like me who are longing for a playoff, part of me wants total chaos.
I hear you. But let's go. Let's preview next week's games. Big game. I call this the draft game. Stanford versus USC. Matt Barkley versus Andrew Luck.
Well, I would say that they're playing for who's going to be the first quarterback taken, but everyone knows it's Andrew Luck.
It's Andrew.
So Matt Barkley, he's just trying to look decent so he can say, hey, I'm a top five pick, because we all know that he's leaving out of USC. Yeah. They're on probation. Get out of here. Who do I have winning? Easy. Stanford.
I hear you. This game is so important for Matt Barkley. If anything, he's going to put all his efforts into making this game, into trying to outplay Andrew Luck.
Absolutely.
And that would be his downfall. No, seriously, that would be his downfall. No, because that's what he's going to put too much pressure on himself. Because Andrew Luck's going to be Andrew Luck. Stanford wins the game, hands down. Michigan State versus Nebraska. Who do you have winning this game?
Michigan State.
Ooh. You know what? I'm going to surprise you. I think Martinez in the triple option will beat Michigan State. I think Michigan State has their big wins at home. Now it's time to go on the road and go into a hostile environment in Nebraska. I don't see Michigan State winning this and pulling out. Cousins is going to struggle, and Nebraska will have that triple option all day.
Oh, okay. Well, we differ on that.
Yes, we do. We differ. You're damn right we differ. What's like? You damn right the show goes on?
Damn right the show goes on?
That's what it is? No, yeah. The damn right the show wraps it up. Wrap it up. To listen to the show, visit www.walio.podbeam.com. I'm sounding redundant, but I don't care. We're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
And you know why we keep saying this over and over again?
So you can do it.
So you can do it. So we can get some fans. We're trying to build up a cult-like following.
Honestly, I'm going to be real with you. I'm trying to get some groupies. All right? I'm trying to get some groupies. All right? Trying to be in the skybox, chilling. So, if you know what I'm saying, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's what I want, some group.
Ladies, if you listen to us, make sure you email Wally at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
Yeah, and sign your drawers. and you can listen to us on the Alpha G's radio show on Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/AppleG's. And also, you can catch us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC. Still a fan. I believe it's an excellent show. Yeah. Did a good job?
Yeah, very good job.
All right, we out.
Deuces, bitches!